Welcome, everybody, to Dead Excelsior, episode 130. We are talking about X-Men First Class. I'm Ricky, with you, as always, is Dennis. And joining us for the second week in the row, we got Brian.
We do. What's up?
Glad to be here. Nice. Callback date.
Well, I mean, you actually requested it. You were like, hey... You're like, you sure you want to do this again? All right, let's go. Let's do this. But we're glad to have you back. I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, like it, there's, we're trying to do a marathon. I mean, if you want to call it a marathon, we're doing one a week of all the X-Men movies leading up to, you know, Deadpool 3 coming out later this year. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, we don't always have a guest on the show, but like I gave people the opportunity to like request. And Brian, you requested last week's episode I've already blanked on that one with the Wolverine Origins, X-Men Origins, Wolverine. Yes. It's a lot of X-Men back to back. It's pretty nuts how much X-Men content we're absorbing right now. But then you're like, yeah, I do First Class. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And,
I made a mistake.
This is regarded as one of the better X-Men movies.
I could see that. Yeah, see, here's the thing. When you say that, what do you mean? Do you mean it is regarded as one of the better movies that has the name X-Men on it? Or do X-Men fans feel it is a good X-Men movie?
Should X-Men fans be that baseline?
I think you just insulted X-Men fans. I think the thing is, and we'll talk more about this later.
I'll say it is the best movie one of the better movies with the title X-Men in it. But yes. I do think your logic of fans of the thing should be the sole bearer of the movie of the thing.
No, I didn't say that. You're putting words in my mouth.
Pander to good... fans at least a little bit, you're going to get killed in word of mouth. So
right, I'm saying my argument is valid. Is it one of the best movies to general audiences? In meaning, like, does it have a great Rotten Tomatoes score? Blah blah blah, or is it critically acclaimed by people who grew up worshiping this stuff and know the lore and see this as the ultimate sign of respect to the franchise? Because like for me, I feel like it's a good movie. It is a really fun movie. It's like, if you don't know the lore, this is easily one of the better X-Men movies. But if you know the lore, or if you've even been watching all the movies that came before it, like we have, there's some real continuity issues going on in this movie, but we can talk about that later. It's cool.
Which they'll deal with a little bit the next one, but
in an interesting way. Yes, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Kill everybody.
They're like, oops, we screwed up continuity. Let's kill it all. No, but it's cool. Like I welcome the differing opinions for sure. Cause it makes for a fun conversation. Mm-hmm. But before we get into that, you know, we can talk about what we've been nerding out on, or more specifically, we can talk about X-Men 97, because that's, I mean, honestly, like, I've been so busy. The only thing I get to nerd out on outside of X-Men movies is X-Men 97. I'm assuming this time, Ricky, you watched the whole episode?
I did watch the whole episode. I watched it today. Mojo's dumb.
Boo! That is the wrong opinion.
Is this the worst Mojo story from this cartoon?
No, that's a pretty good Mojo story.
This is a good Mojo story.
That's whole Mojo's whole gimmick. He just like,
I told you this like 2 years ago.
I know you did, but I never seen it play out.
And you were like, and I quote, he sounds like a cool fucking guy. That's what you said 2 years ago. The clip is on the internet today.
That clip has only 2 views, by the way.
You watched one of them though, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
Seeing the thing in motion, Mojo's pretty fucking dumb. He's dumb. I don't think that's bad.
Mojo's meant to be a parody of TV executives, right? He's meant to be ridiculous and over the top and a character.
Did he debut in the comics? Or did he debut in...
He did.
Yeah. He's a comic character, but he's meant to... I wouldn't say just TV executives, right?
Media executives.
Yeah, he's meant to... Yeah, he's the media mogul that tampers with things too far.
Why does he only pick on X-Men?
He doesn't. But... X-Men bring in good ratings, so
yes, yeah, exactly.
When the X-Men, I think when the X-Men villains start getting to the scope of what Mojo can do, that's when my brain starts breaking of like, where's everyone else?
Well, and keep in mind, Mojo doesn't see himself as a villain of the X-Men. Mm-hmm. Like the X-Men are just like, oh shit, I need programming. Let's grab some X-Men and throw them into my murder dungeon.
But to be fair, I'm trying to walk back on what you're saying. Like, what do you mean by what? Where's the other people? You do realize he's doing this in another dimension, right? He's not even operating on
Earth. I'm not talking Mojo specifically, but I think when villains get to that scope and power where they're interdimensional beings, or a threat to the world.
To the world.
Yeah, he's not a threat to the world. Yeah, he likes to just kidnap X-Men.
He's Q from Star Trek.
Yeah, that argues Ricky's point.
I want to see him pull in like a cap. Pull in like some.
I mean, I think he's done that before. He appeared originally in Excalibur.
But that's kind of weird. That's like saying like, why
is like kind of creepy.
We're like, I want to see Magneto fight Spider-Man. Like, but like, why?
That's what we have
Battleworld for. Like, Mojo on paper in this episode is like the definition of like a child predator.
Sure.
And Mojo is meant to be creepy as hell.
I mean, if that wasn't obvious, like,
yeah.
I mean, trust us. There's an extra layer. Seeing anorexic Mojo for a portion of this, that was terrifying because we're so used to the grotesque fat character that he is. You know, like I don't understand how he changed back into that one later. Like, Brian, do you have any ideas?
Well, I think didn't he say something like he was starving for good entertainment, and then Jubilee was so entertaining. Speed running the Marvel versus Capcom levels.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
By the way, sorry for anybody who hasn't watched X-Men 97 this week. Spoiler warning, we forgot to mention that. But the title is Motendo. It's actually, there's two titles to this episode. It's Motendo and Life Death Part 1, because the Mojo story was only like 20 minutes of the episode. And then they ended it with kind of like the prologue of a bigger story that's going to be taking place throughout the whole season with Forge and Storm. But we can get to that one in a minute. I'm not done with Mojo. I just want to make sure know.
I'm done with Mojo.
See, dude.
You're not even going to touch upon the fact that it's a straight up homage to the video games from the 90s.
Yes, dude.
That was awesome.
That was amazing. Those
mean nothing to me.
Dude, okay. One.
You guys can talk about this for the next minute.
Okay. One, the art on the cartridge was straight up almost like a copy of the art from the Sega Genesis game. The Motendo was meant to look like a Sega Genesis, which was funny because it was a Motendo. And like a lot of the levels that they fought in were like from the Genesis game.
It also had some of the backgrounds from the Marvel Capcom game as well.
I loved it so much. It was an extra like layer of nerd love. Is like, look, we know you like your X-Men, but we also know you like your X-Men video games. I was really waiting for that Magneto to call them the X-Chickens. I was like, I was waiting for it. I was there. But, you know, like it was a good serving of fan service without being like over the top. I'm sorry, Ricky, you didn't enjoy the Mojo story, but like I tried to prepare you 2 years ago when you asked me who Mojo is and what's his deal. I gave you the spiel. You thought he sounded cool then, and now you've seen him now, and you're like, no.
Dumb.
Yeah. I also think the 20-minute runtime for that part of it was right on, right? It didn't stretch it too far.
It didn't need any more.
Got
in,
got out.
Yeah.
It did what it needed to do.
Yeah.
And we got some more development for Sunspot, so.
And he banged Jubilee on her 18th birthday. Those kids have no chaperones. They have no chaperones in that house.
Professor X is gone, mansion. So.
Like, they literally left a teenage girl up in her room with a teenage boy on her birthday, door closed, while they just dealt with their own
things. They're not, like, related to her.
While Magneto and Rogue were, eye-humping each other. So.
They're not, like, responsible for her, are they?
They are responsible for her.
Yeah, she's their ward.
Yes.
She's their Robin.
Any child that is living there is their ward. And so, yeah, you could argue that on that day she was no longer a child, but
yeah,
gross. That's pedo vibes right there. I'm just saying.
The Xavier School is a boarding school, so they definitely
have legal authority
over their wards.
And they are professor. They are teachers.
Oh, they are 18.
There you go. Back to the pedo argument right there.
I don't like this journey we're on.
Wasn't there, in the original series, wasn't there a creepy episode with Longshot creeping on Jubilee?
Am I remembering that? Longshot was pretty weird.
Yeah, Longshot's always been weird.
Yeah, I think there was a few little nods to Longshot in the episode too, right? And like,
well, yeah, because he's originally from Mojoverse, so.
Yeah, and then am I mistaken, or did Spiral screw Mojo over at the end? Like, I wasn't used to that. Like,
yeah. It was, first of all, it was cool to see Spiral, but it was also like she seemed like she did not care and was just gonna, you know, do whatever to screw with Mojo a little bit. So yeah, there's definitely some I'm a bad employee teehee things going on there. So
fair enough. We won't explain Spiral's powers to Ricky because that'll just hurt his brain even more. Moving on to the second part of that story, the Forge and Storm story. What did you think of that part, Ricky? I'm just curious.
I really liked Forge explaining his powers. I thought that was a really cool way to break down what he does. By drawing connections that normal humans can't. Mm-hmm. But I'd also like put something like I always thought Forge was cool because he can make whatever he wants to make, right? But I never thought about the resource aspect of that. And they kind of touched on that in the episode where, like, yeah, he can build anything, but he still needs like materials and like anything that is hard to get. But the second dumbest thing about this episode is the bad guy the bad pigeon owl thing.
It's a bad owl.
Adversary. That's a dumb name. That's a dumb name.
It was less dumb in like 1983 when this came out. So
I am the adversary.
I think it was weird for it to call itself the adversary.
Yeah.
I
don't think it did that in the comic story.
Yeah.
They come to refer to it, but also the comic stretched like 14 or 15 issues. So
TLDR on the adversary, who is it and what is it and what does it want?
So it's actually Forge's fault. It is a demon that he accidentally summoned in Vietnam, right?
Yep.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Some weird thing. It usually presents itself as a Native American spirit or an animal, something like that. But it's an evil demon that was brought into this. Like, I mean, you remember X-Men embraces mysticism, magic, mm-hmm. everything. It's all in X-Men. Everything exists there. And so aliens, you know, like and so it was something, yeah, like he was mortally wounded, he made a deal, it came out, and then like they tried to get rid of it, but it always kind of follows Forge often, and it's gonna be a creepy thing that's feeding on Storm's misery, and I think all of the X-Men are gonna have to help kill it at the end, right? Like that's
I think it's been explained that it's like a psychic vampire, which is why it hangs around Forge, because almost every Forge story is Forge is basically Prometheus. He invents awesome things, and then they get misused, or he gets duped into allowing them to be misused. So everything he does is always sort of tragic.
He's Oppenheimer, or he's Fastos from Eternals. Yeah.
When was Forge an X-Men?
I think he became an X-Men. So I remember him having a major role in the, speaking of the Reavers, remember when the X-Men got wrecked and had to hide out in Australia? I think that's when he got brought on board.
Outback.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's an off and on member. Like in the cartoon, it's kind of implied that he helped, I think make Cerebro or the Blackbird
the current class of X-Men.
He's known Professor X for a long time.
Yeah.
And then if you recall, like Bishop's going back to the future, Forge is Bishop's guy in the future too. So we're going to get a lot of Forge this season
in the cartoon.
Forge is the one who helped Bishop make the time machine. And stuff. So, we're going to see a lot of Forge is my theory, because probably next week we're going to go, because Life and Death Part 1 started this week, but it's actually going to...
next episode, right?
Yeah, they're going to skip all the way until the finale. The last two episodes return back to this story. So we're getting teased.
A three-parter.
It's a three-parter, yeah. So the last two parts will be at the end of the season in late May. Yeah. But I got to say, like, as short as that was, Storm sold the crap out of that for me. Yeah. Like she gets the emotion out of me, man. Like just the way she reacts, like that actress is so badass, man. I felt it when he thought he cured her and she went
and
outside
and
did her little chants and sermons on the mountain that she does before she does the powers.
My call.
Oh man, that was so sad.
That's pretty cool.
That was really sad. And so I'm down for that, because like it feeds, if the adversary is this thing that feeds on misery, then right now in that universe you can't do much better than Storm. She is quite the tragic character. So I loved it. That was probably one of my favorite episodes so far, just because we got two different stories in one, and we got to see a lot of different stuff. And you know, and Ricky also liked that Jubilee got banged on her birthday.
No, I didn't say that.
And we got a little bit more of the Gambit cucking, so that's always fun.
yes, we did. We did.
Anything else media wise that you guys consumed this week before we move on?
I consumed some news.
All right,
but Brian, you got anything else?
No, I mean the only thing I've been watching in my osocopious free time is Slow Horses, but that's not really a comic book thing. It's more of a James Bond spy show on Apple. But
I've been watching Invincible, but like I never get around to watching it right before we do this show. It comes out It comes out when we tape this. Did it end today?
Might
have ended today. I will watch that after this. But I like the season. I don't love it. It's. I think the commercials make it suck a little bit more. That's probably my take.
Give Amazon a few more dollars and they'll go away.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Basically, he's a bigger boat
for a while.
My problem is I don't watch a lot of things on Amazon. I think Invincible and The Boys are like it pretty much, and maybe Upload. So it's not worth it for me to give them the money. I like Upload. It's cute. Yeah.
Well, you just mentioned the Boys. There's some news. You're going to talk about Chance Perdomo, which
I did not have that in my news, but we can't talk about that.
Had such a huge role in Gen V, and it seemed like they were setting him up
to appear in The Boys, right?
Yeah. Well, they were going to start filming Gen V season 2 next month, and that has stopped.
That's rough. He died in a motorcycle accident. That's unfortunate. Yeah. Well, let's get on to more news, I guess. Look, there was no good segue for that. I took that one for you, Ricky.
Good and appropriate are two separate things.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But if you're watching this show live, or if you're watching this show or listening to it, it'll be 4-5. But we're recording on 4-4, which Marvel has dubbed Fantastic Four Day. And they teased us a bit with the new some new concept art featuring Johnny Storm doing the classic Fire Four in the sky over what appears to be a very futuristic looking city.
Yeah.
That's just Tomorrowland from Disney.
I know, right? It does look like Tomorrowland.
George Clooney.
Yeah, I think it's this picture tells a lot. It says a lot because, like, one, you know, you're getting a Human Torch that looks very comic accurate.
Got the lines.
But two, well, does he have the lines?
The suit is kind of in the line, but there's lines on his face.
He doesn't have the lines the way. Yeah, it's fine. I don't mind. Yeah. But that city in the background is very telling of the kind of story you're going to get, which is kind of cool. Like I'm kind of down for the Fantastic Four living in the Jetsons universe.
Retro,
you know? Yeah. What it's an alternate universe set in the 60s. That's kind of the two things that we know at this point.
Wait, we're moving into the movie tonight? No.
But the other little nugget. Other nugget is Julie Garner, probably know her most recently from Ozarks, is going
Inventing
to play...
Anna. Inventing Anna was most recently.
Inventing Anna, too. Is it Shalabal?
Shalabal.
Shalabal, yes. An alternate, or is she an alternate universe Silver Surfer, or she's a Silver Surfer's wife? They're one and the same.
She's both.
Yes. She's both. Okay.
She has been an alternate universe Silver Surfer. She has also been given the power cosmic by Silver Surfer in the main universe. And yeah, she just looks like female Silver Surfer. I think the internet already I've experienced the
performatively horrible, angry about it.
Yeah. Yes, performatively angry. It's so frustrating. I tried to engage with somebody who in the comments of one of these, like, I saw a great video. It's just like, please, people, community, can we just, like, not be jerks about this one? And I appreciated where that video was coming from, right? But then you go to the comment section because you have to. And it's so funny because, like, one of them was like, so are we ever going to get the real Silver Surfer in the MCU? And my first response to that, I tried to answer it diplomatically. I said, I don't understand why people ask these questions when we've been given three Spider-Men in one movie. You know what I mean? I didn't bother to even list. We've also been given two Captain Americas. We've been given multiple, like, Captain Marvels. Like, we've already gotten a different Fantastic Four or Mr. Fantastic than we're going to get now. I don't understand why you would even ask this. And then their response was, well, I didn't like that movie, the Spider-Man No Way Home. And I was like, okay, well, fair enough. Like, but that wasn't your question, bro.
Yeah.
I think your real question was, will I ever like a Silver Surfer in the MCU? And I think the answer to that is probably no, because, like, that's the reality. Like, people want it a very specific way. And I do understand how I'm dangerously treading on the line of walking back on what I was talking about first class earlier. But what I'm saying is you have to allow for a little bit of freedom when you've already swallowed the pill that is the multiverse saga for the last year and a half. You don't have to like all the stories that have been told in the multiverse saga, but they're there. And on top of that, dude, if you actually look at her face, she kind of looks like Silver Surfer, dude. Like,
she's going to be silver. She's going to have the hair.
She's going to look cool. Fine. I think she's looking good. Is she silver and is she on a surfboard? Yes. Awesome.
But is she named Norrin Rad? Which, you know, let's
But I think that's even more important, right? Because for the trolls out there, they should calm down because she's literally not named Norrin Rad, right? She's Shalabal, who is the wife of Norrin Rad. And, like, they're a star-crossed lover kind of situation. So, like, I don't mind seeing a universe where instead of him, she, you know, sacrificed herself to protect their planet from Galactus, you know?
I mean, the mainline MCU Silver Surfer can still be Norrin Rad because it's pretty obvious that we're getting in a multiverse story here.
Yeah, so. the way I see it, the MCU is always like promising the good stuff if you behave. Like, and the thing is, we don't behave. Most of us don't. Well, I don't mean to say he's going to be better than her.
The classics, but, like the greatest.
Yeah,
I feel like they don't give it to us because we don't deserve it. We as a community are toxic as F.
Also,
go ahead, Ricky. Sorry.
Oh, she's probably going to have like 5 to 10 lines of dialogue in this movie. I guarantee it.
I don't know. She's Julia Garner. She's pretty cool.
Yeah, it may be. Like, I mean, we'll have to see what the story is.
He talks. But
at the same time,
Lawrence Fishburne talked a lot in the last movie, and he was cool. He was awesome.
Yeah,
I swear to God, like that movie, the Fantastic Four 2, whatever, the Rise of the Silver Surfer, whatever. If you just cut out every scene that's not Silver Surfer. That movie's a masterpiece.
They should bring back Doug Jones. I would be 100% on board.
Well, I want to see Julia Garner because
I'm not saying like if they loop everything back, I'm fine.
If they decide to start cherry picking the best things from different universes, you could do a lot worse than Doug Jones as Silver Surfer for sure. Like he is one of the best things to come out of that Fantastic Four universe for sure. So
Doug Jones usually knocks it out of the park. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm down. But to sum up, I am all for Julia Garner because I want to have my cake and eat it too.
All right. Barreling down, you can have your cake and eat it too with Daredevil Born Again. This is getting a little spoilery. We had some set photos come out, but we had some old friends stop on by. I should throw it up there.
I can see it.
Yeah, that wasn't really surprising at all, but cool, I guess.
There we go.
Where's the Iron Fist, bro?
He's not on set just yet, but Punisher and Jessica Jones.
We're
going to
get a multiversal version of him.
Yeah.
These are the two best ones, so we're good. We don't need. I love Luke Cage, but I think he's better. I think he's a million times better on Evil. If you've never seen that show, like Mike Coulter. Like, I'd never want him to go back to Luke Cage because if it takes him away from Evil, no, I don't want it. Like, it's that show's too good. But yeah, this is badass. Obviously, like, I don't want to see anyone else as the Punisher. Besides Bernthal. John Bernthal is so perfect as Frank Castle. And, you know, Kristen Ritter, right now, I don't want to see somebody else as Jessica Jones. I like her too much. I don't think the last few seasons of her show were good at all, but I like her. You know,
the bee in Apartment 23?
That's not what I meant.
Girlfriend.
Oh. Yes. Oh, that's dark. Dark.
We'll move on from Jesse. To the Joker and his girlfriend, the poster for the Joker, Folie à Deux, starring Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga. This poster came out this week. It is a musical. The trailer comes out next week. It's supposed to be, it's a musical, but they're not doing original songs.
It's like Moulin Rouge, where the most of them are.
I'm a little bit more intrigued now, so.
I mean, if you cast Lady Gaga and you're doing a musical, you can only get so bad. Right? The bar is pretty high with that combo.
I mean, at least she can sing.
Yeah, she can sing. She's an entertainer.
I'm not going to lie, though. Movies. I'm not going to lie. If there's no Batman in this movie, just fuck off. Like, I don't want Joker without a Batman. Like, that doesn't.
I don't mind it.
This movie is not for
like...
you. This movie is for people who are upset about the Silver Surfer casting news.
I did like the Joker movie, but I also I want to what's the right word?
But celebrate. Have you made it your entire personality?
No. Yeah. You're gonna joke for that.
My
I want to celebrate alternative takes of characters like this. Yeah. I think we could do. I mean, the movie won an Oscar. Not a bad movie.
The actor won an Oscar. Yes. Because he's a good, it's a good performance by him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It like actors can win Oscars in bad movies.
Yeah, like The Dark Knight.
I mean, if you really think The Dark Knight's a bad movie. But what I'm saying is, like, I think while it's cool to explore the idea of a Joker and what it means to be the Joker, like, if that movie doesn't also explore how that identity relates to Batman, then right. You don't understand the Joker, because that is his entire purpose. That's why, like, the Harley Quinn Joker is one of my favorite ones, because, like, that moment when Scarecrow pulls Bruce Wayne's mask off of him and when he has him captured, and the Joker is just so pissed because he's like, "You ruined everything. Like, do you think I would have taken his mask off if I wanted to? You know what I mean? Like, you think I couldn't have done it already?" Like, it's completely killed it. And, like, ever since that moment, he no longer cares about Batman, because, like, it just, and so, the Joker we get in that story now is, like, all over the place, right? He tries to be the mayor. Like, he's like, he's got a family, like an adopted kid.
That circles back to the point of the, like, you're getting
his identity is bound into Batman. Yeah.
Yeah. But then you, once it flips off, you get to see what else? So what's the alternative of it?
Yeah. But what if the alternative isn't that interesting? Right. I mean, no one is like, "Oh, I love Joker without Batman."
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. Did you? I know you want to switch over to something else, but I think you missed one other piece of DC news that came out from James Gunn in a tweet recently. He's got a Batman. He's got a Batman.
Did he announce who that Batman is?
Yeah. Jensen Ackles. I saw it today, but you can look it up.
Cool.
You can look it up.
I will look it up. It is not the first hit on news, so I don't believe you.
That's your algorithm's fault.
Yeah. But
I saw it today. But, you know. But I'm just checking.
While he checks the Boomer News, we'll move over to
the Boomer News.
Wow.
Weekend was WonderCon, and usually we don't get some toys at WonderCon, but the Marvel Legends team dropped an entire carded Iron Man wave.
Retro carded. I'm so freaking tired of the retro cards. The reason being, like, they're not giving me build the figures and they're charging me the same amount of money.
Nope.
Like, and they're doing it all the time now because people love these retro card figures. The whole reason I ever started collecting this line was because it was so badass that if you bought all six of them, you got a seventh character for free.
Keep your stuff in boxes.
And now they just sell you six characters and they're like, "That was good, right?" And they're like, "Oh, you sons of bitches." Like,
that's no more Stiltman pieces for you.
That said, these are good figures. I approve of all of them, all six of them. Gold Iron Man was a given because they gave us the silver. Big Feet Club Foot Iron Man is badass looking. That She-Hulk is a masterpiece. That is a thing of beauty. And then Whiplash and Count Nefaria are some deep cuts.
Yeah, they are.
And those are great. Those Mickey are Rourke. Excellent. Yeah, right? Mickey Rourke, I suppose. Yes.
Yeah.
Is there an MCU Whiplash figure?
No. But in fairness, Mickey Rourke played a combination of two characters.
Yes.
It was more
Vanko.
Crimson Dynamo, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Ivan Vanko, Crimson Dynamo.
Yeah. Or Titanium Man or Crimson Dynamo.
Well, yeah, yeah. But it was less Whiplash. The only Whiplash bits was really the weapon, not the story, the background.
Yeah. And so whatever, it's fine. But sure. Mickey Rourke. He's never gotten a toy. I'm down for those. Those are awesome looking.
Okay.
He could already order them.
Or
have you sourced your Batman news yet?
There's definitely
all I'm finding is he's voicing it in The Brave and the Bold.
Oh, he's definitely been Batman for several years now. But I can't find it on.
You gotta stay up on the news, man.
I gotta stay up on the news. Watch, it's gonna happen tomorrow, and then Ricky's gonna be like, well, it doesn't count. It doesn't count if you say it.
It didn't happen today.
Spoken into being.
Oh, well.
Spoken into being.
Well, speak like a banshee. Like banshee. When we talk about our spotlight. X-Men First Class came out in 2011, really?
Yeah.
2011. Who directed this? Matthew Vaughn. You can tell. This is the kind of pseudo reboot of the Fox X-Men franchise. Plot of the story.
It's kind of like a reboot cool, right? Like
it's
a reboot cool because like and I think it's a cheap shot. This movie starts with basically the shot for shot remake of the scene from X-Men 1,
but
with
continues.
some extra content. And I'll allow it, but like don't ever do it again because like for me, I think the beginning of X-Men 1 is like one of the finest scenes ever put in a superhero movie. And I just felt like dirty that we did the same scene over again for this one. And because it felt like, are you trying to be your own thing or are you trying to still be the same thing? You know, and I think that's the problem I have with this entire movie. As I keep asking that damn question the entire movie I'm watching it, you know, like, and I'm like, which are you? Are you your own thing? Oh, there's Hugh Jackman.
I think the
beginning I give a pass to because it does a good job of linking you to Magneto's trauma, right? And his motivation. And then also showing you why Shaw is the target that he wants.
Yeah.
But then they undercut it by the end. So
yes. I think what we have here is a good movie that kind of craps the bed at the end. Like
I mentioned before we started recording that I liked it less upon reviewing it than I originally remember liking it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because this doesn't feel like an X-Men movie to me. This feels like a Charles Xavier and Magneto movie to me. And every time they move away from them, the movie slows down. And the other mutants, other than Mystique and Beast. Yeah. Like, well, why is Havoc in jail?
Right?
What is Darwin? Like, we find nothing out about Darwin, and then he dies. None of them are developed.
The one black guy in the entire movie, and his power is I can't die, and they kill him off.
Well, so to run it back to Brian's point, this was after Wolverine, there was going to be an X-Men Origins Magneto and an X-Men Origins Professor X.
Yep.
Wolverine did what that movie did. And they had to reassess, and instead of making one more movie, they're like, or two more movies, like you're only getting one more. And then, so you had, you know, you had to get crafty with it.
Yeah.
I just, it's overstuffed. There's too many characters with too little development. Like all of Shaw's henchmen.
Does like Riptide
even have a line in the movie?
Tornado guy?
Yeah.
Wait, what's his name?
Yeah. Riptide.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like, honestly, like, I like that he has a badass crew of established villains that, you know, they're running around the world, you know, pushing the pawns and playing chess with every, you know, all the foreign leaders and stuff. That's cool. But like, you know, I thought when you were going to say it feels like a Charles Xavier Magneto movie, I was going to say, and a James Bond movie.
Yeah.
Because like Kevin Bacon is badass in this movie.
He is.
He feels like a James Bond villain. Like he even has a submarine that pops out from underneath his boat.
I didn't mind. That was
and
cool.
It's cool. It's cool. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I think it's really cool, but it tonally doesn't feel like an X-Men movie. I agree with Brian. It feels like a movie that has some X-Men in it, but I'm also like a little confused as to like
they're not okay. X-Men movie.
I was like, so this Emma Frost is not terrible. The same as the one that we met last week in X-Men Origins, but she's the same exact special
Diamond
effects.
Woman racist.
Diamond Woman. Yeah.
Also, can we talk about the fact that she's made of diamond, but Magneto is able to strangle her? How the hell does that work?
I hate it so much. I hate that part so much. That makes no sense to me that to see the diamond cracking, I was like, I don't think you know the definition of the word. Like, but I think that that's kind of the thing. There's so many little weird things that happen that betray or undercut the coolness of the movie, you know, like, because I think that, and I know I'm speaking with hindsight, whereas, you know, at the time I might've been willing to like, okay, like I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, even though you gave me X-Men Origins Wolverine. And I'm going to say that you're trying to do something interesting here, and maybe you need a few movies to deliver on that. But I have a lot of questions. But now hindsight is I've seen this universe through to its end, and I know that they never deliver on all of the things that they promised.
Well, that's not a fair.
There's a file that shows that, what's her name? Dragonfly dies in the next movie. So
yeah, they all die. Angel. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I want to run it back real quick. Brian, you said this movie shits the bed at the end.
I said that.
No.
Or Dennis says it.
This movie should be five characters and everyone else should be jettisoned. It should be Magneto, Shaw, Xavier, Moira, and Mystique. And right there, you've got the core of the film, the primary sort of relationships, and that drives the plot. Nothing else done by any of the other characters matters.
Yeah, like wasn't that a trip that Oliver was Platt is in that movie
and then just gets dropped
out of the sky? Like Oliver Platt was already an established actor at that time. He was not a nobody, and so I was like, what are you doing with these amazing actors?
When does the movie get bad for you, Dennis? Like what is the end? What point in the movie is that?
I think when it turns into superhero action at the end of the movie, it loses something for me. So like the entire sequence in Cuba is just like,
I liked everything up until they get on the island.
I'd say once Beast shoots up, it's all over.
Yeah, no, that's rough for me too.
Beast looks so different.
He sounds terrible too.
From the other movies, he's like, it's a whole different character.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many things that are inconsistent, and then they make Mystique turn into Rebecca Romijn Stamos for a second, and that's like, or Rebecca Romijn, and it's like, why are you doing this? If why is Alex Summers an X-Men before Scott Summers? Why is Sean Cassidy
not Irish?
Why is he not redheaded? Yeah, why is he not Irish?
Why is Myra McTaggart a CIA agent?
Why does Magneto go into a full Irish accent in the last 20 minutes of the movie? Like,
I thought I was hearing things.
No, dude, my wife and I were like, what?
He does, yes.
He goes hard Irish. hard Irish at the end of that movie. And it's like, what's happening here? There's so many questions that I kept asking myself, but like, I just didn't care. Like, yeah, I mean, Brian's probably right. For me, the Beast thing is rough. Because like, let's be honest, like, I'm not buying your story. You're saying my life's so hard, bro. Wear shoes.
Yeah.
Wear shoes. No. That's it. Wear shoes. And like, and I was really confused by like, don't worry, my serum won't affect your ability, just the appearance of it. And I'm like, no, bro, I literally saw your feet go back to normal. Like you no longer have opposable thumbs on your feet. How does that work? You know? But I appreciate that they tried to do the story that is Beast. I wish they would have sold the plight of Beast more, because in the comics, he looks like a freak before he's blue. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Am I misremembering, but there was one of his attempts to cure himself, he turned himself really stupid. That happen?
That might have happened. Yeah. So for me, the problem with Mystique in this movie is her entire story hinges on Beast's story. Like, it's kind of, you know, like she has to
mutant and proud,
but she's set up as Charles and her is the primary relationship, but they don't. Yeah. They chuck it out the window.
Once Nicholas Holt shows up and once Magneto shows up together, yeah. You know, like, it's like, oh, here, I'm too busy for you, Mystique, hang out with this guy. And so she gets passed off to the B plot, and the B plot doesn't work for me because like, I want to believe Raven's whole story. And I love her scenes with Magneto.
Win an Oscar at this point. She's on the B plot.
Yeah. But I wanted to believe, like, I like the scenes with her and Magneto. Those are cool. Don't get me wrong. Like, as much as I might dunk on this movie here and there, Michael Fassbender, except for the Irish part, he kicked the shit out of this movie, oh, yeah. Man. He was everything.
He puts in work.
I would have watched an entire Magneto movie, just watching him hunting down Nazis and killing them with metal in interesting ways. Hell yeah.
So really quick, back to X-Men 97 for a minute. Remember the scene where like Jubilee wants to play like video game, go to the arcade with the X-Men, and Magneto is just like,
no.
Like, that is a man that you will never convince to go play video games. I was watching First Class and I'm like, that guy is not gonna go play video games. Okay. He is so
be in the head, Charles.
Because he's full on arrested development, right? Like, his maturity stopped the second Sebastian Shaw murdered his mom. And he's like Batman, right? He can never move past that moment. Yeah. It's never gonna happen. And so, like, yeah, I love him all the way through this movie, and his scenes with Charles are actually really good. I really do like them. I just don't. It's weird to watch Kevin Bacon just die by a quarter.
That scene's cool. I like that.
It also seems like it's inconsistent with what's already been established with his power too.
Yes. Yes.
Like, why is he vulnerable to a slow moving quarter pushing its way through his brain?
It still has kinetic energy. I don't understand. Like, I don't get it.
You gotta give kudos though to the casting director of this movie. They got four movies out of this cast.
Well, out of some of the cast.
As some of the cast, yes.
Out of the core of it.
What is core? Like, I don't even know who the core cast of this movie is. Like, Moira core? Because we drop her after movie, right?
No, yep. She's in Apocalypse.
She's not in the next one though.
Yeah, but I think she's a different character in Apocalypse, isn't she?
No, she's still Moira.
She's still a CIA agent, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or is she a geneticist, finally?
I don't remember.
Retired?
I don't understand how she switches from CIA to geneticist. Like,
she has to get to the Moira we got in X-Men
3.
Last Stand,
yeah.
If we want to go comics accurate... They're just different lives of Moira.
Yeah, sure. That's true. But they didn't have that written until way later.
No.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, there was so many things that were promised. Like, okay, this is Moira now. So we're going to have to, I want to see Moira's story to see how it eventually gets there. And
I don't know more outside of these stories. So what? Give me.
Oh shit.
She is. We don't have.
Yeah, we don't have
enough show for that. Is she good or bad? Yes. She is a mutant. Who has the
recently? She is a mutant, but she's been around in X-Men stories for 40 years prior to coming out as a mutant
for a long time.
So, she is
not a Mary Sue. She can't really do anything. Like, but she has been a scientific friend to Charles Xavier and the X-Men for a long time.
And her is Proteus, right?
Right.
That's the whole thing. So her kid is an Omega level mutant that can't control. It's basically very Legion-esque. So Charles got involved to help her understand
because he was in love with Moira.
Yeah.
And he felt like a kinship with her and this kid and stuff.
Yeah.
But in more recent comics, in the Powers of 10 or Powers of 10 and House of X. Yeah. We find out that Moira has actually been a mutant this entire time. And she has lived lives over and over again in a loop. And each time she's aware of the previous life, so she can make changes to it. And so what it results in is Moira is seeing all the different eras of the X-Men because she's seen that loop over and over again. So she's something different each time in relation to their lives, but she is intertwined with the X-Men forever. You know, like
she knows all of their protagonists and antagonists. Like she's worked with Apocalypse in one lifetime and Mr. Sinister in another.
It's fine that Fox didn't know that because Marvel didn't know that.
Was before. Yeah.
Okay.
Like Fox has always been just stealing whatever newest comics Marvel puts out. And so Marvel had recently put out a comic called X-Men First Class that has nothing to do with this story at all.
Nope.
And they're like, we like that title. We're going to steal it. You know, like,
wasn't it basically the original five being brought through time back into the contemporary age from the 70s? Was that the First Class
one? Yes.
I remember that.
Yes. That comic is badass.
We get matching suits. That counts for something.
I give him massive points for suits for finally putting him in the suits. I don't understand why he says they open the trunk, the camera's in the trunk, and they're like, huh.
That shot is weird.
You expect us to wear that? And he's like, well, I mean, they give us they protect us from the G-forces of the plane, and you know, they're bulletproof. So I say suit up. Closed trunk. What? Why closed trunk? You just said suit up. Why are you closing the trunk?
They said grab the case or bring the case. They opened it at the house.
We're all gonna get changed.
They took it to the hangar.
Did they say that? Well, I thought it was there.
Just a weird shot and scene.
It was weird. There was a lot of camera stuff. I didn't like all the panels they were doing. It reminded me of Ang Lee's Hulk.
We should watch that again too. That movie.
Hate that movie so much.
Like the set and costume design is excellent.
I still have questions about what that giant radar dish is down the street from Charles
Xavier's neighbor. Like people who own that are like, why does it keep moving?
It reminds me of my dad's ham radio and like how it just pissed off all the neighbors whenever you would use the ham radio because it would interfere with all their TVs. What is that satellite dish down the street what is it doing when Magneto just plays with it and turns it? You know what I mean?
Or they just have Banshee fly off of it. You know, he's just going to scream at that thing.
Right? Yeah. Oh, Banshee.
I mean, that's an East Coast thing, right? They got satellites. Big old satellites everywhere.
That's an East Coast thing.
No, it is not.
I will, like, watching this movie, having it being a period movie, and then knowing we're getting a Fantastic Four movie that's a period piece. I do want to encourage more of this. I do like you,
but
you get away with the silly.
But Fantastic Four is not a period piece in that, like,
it's a multiverse.
It's a multiverse piece in that it's not going to exist in the 60s that we know. You know what I mean? The difference is First Class was trying to actually say, hey, do you remember the Cuban Missile Crisis? That's because of Sebastian Shaw.
It is a time that is not ours.
Also,
it was supposed to be a time that is ours, and they're explaining why things happen. You know, like they're right. It's like they're Forrest Gumping it. You know what I mean? Like that's what they were trying to do. And I thought that was kind of cool. Like that was probably my favorite part of the story is watching the Cold War escalate in this movie, and it's because of these players that we'd never seen before. You know, that was cool. I just didn't like how it resolved. You know,
I would like to see more superhero espionage crossover films. That would be
yeah. And like, I do. Sorry, say what were we gonna say?
Oh, Mickey? I think I enjoyed this movie. I don't want to like keep say like I hated this movie. I thought it was fun. It was cool for what it is. I wish we would have gotten a sequel to this movie, as opposed to Days of Future Past. Because like when you watch them side by side, they are like they are very different movies.
Totally. I think
the characters are in very different places.
I think the problem with it is like I love Days of Future Past, but these guys needed one more movie before
Days of Future Past. Like that is not a sequel to this movie.
Yeah, because some of the weakest parts of Days of Future Past are their attempts to tie up this movie. Killing off the characters to clear the board for Wolverine to come back as, you know, your main character.
But I do have to put out a MCU conundrum in it, like really quick, just because it ran through my head when I was watching this. So Kevin Bacon and all of his body of work now exists in MCU canon, right?
Yeah.
Kevin Bacon exists in the MCU and people celebrate his movies. So, like, is X-Men First Class a movie in the MCU that Kevin Bacon starred in? Like, and is it a biopic? Or is what is it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, we don't technically have, you know, all those mutants in the MCU yet. So, you know.
Yeah.
It'd be great if when the Hellfire Club shows up and Sebastian Shaw, they're like, I thought you looked like Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Remember, the movie's rumored to be called The Mutants, not The X-Men.
Right. And then, the last thing I have to add is Brian did the Darwin part. That part hurts my soul so much. But Emma Frost, wow, that was terrible. That was terrible from beginning to end. I don't think I know of any other stuff that January Jones does recently, and I'm happier for that. Like, she is terrible in this movie, and she makes this character
boring,
completely look boring. Yeah, and I couldn't stand it. I couldn't. That's all. Yeah,
they butchered one of my, like, Havoc is one of my top five X-Men, and I'm just so pissed off of what they did with him in this movie.
He comes back in the next one
and gets immediately off. Yes.
And you know, another thing we'll never get a scene of Mystique flirting with Azazel, just to give you a hint. Like that's there's so
you
many
you know
things
what their original plan was, right? He was going to be her father.
Oh God.
In the first draft of this, he was going to be her father, and that was going to be a plot point that they explored. Because she sort of shows up out of nowhere, and I guess there was originally going to be some reveal that I am your father, Mystique. And that would have been bad. Not them banging and making Nightcrawler. So
that's terrible. We can end the show now. we're gonna come back next week for The Wolverine, but thank you, Brian, for joining us on this one.
Back to back weeks, Brian.
Yeah, I'm done for the year. I've paid my dues.
All right, fair enough. You could have watched The Wolverine, but you're dipping out now. Should have stopped last week, huh? Last week was pretty fun.
We'll bring it back for Apocalypse.
You can come back for Apocalypse.
This is a movie that I would put on in the background if it's on, right?
Yeah, I didn't hate it. I just have a lot of weird, conflicted.
Got to embrace the average film, because you can only go up from there.
It has some choices. Let's put it that way.
It has choices, and you have choices, ladies and gentlemen, when you choose to listen. And with that, true believers, enough said.